Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Now, though, half of Irish secondary schools are oversubscribed, according to figures reported in the Irish Times. And this means that parents across the country, particularly in urban areas, are struggling to secure secondary school places for their children. For more on this, I'm joined by Emma Grist, who lives in Greystones in Wicklow and is currently struggling to get a place for her daughter. Also, Kevin Shortall is with us, principal of St Aidan's Community School in Brookfield in Talla. And Emma, I'm going to start with you. Lucy, your daughter, is in sixth class and you currently don't have a place. Is that where you're at?
Hi, Claire. Thank you. Yes. So Lucy is in sixth class, yeah, and we are still trying to secure a place for her for secondary.
So what have you done and what is your desired outcome of all of this? Where would you like to go to school?
There is obviously one school that we had earmarked for her based on sporting abilities, academic abilities. There are three schools in the area, but this one is literally right beside where we live, which is brilliant. She's currently in the junior school, which is right next door. So, it's a perfect fit. My business is right there also. So, everything logistically worked out. The other two, we would have to get her onto a bus or drive her, etc. So we had the option to apply to all three, but out of fairness and just because this was the school that we wanted her to go to, we just applied to this one. And devastatingly, we were told, she's so far high up on the list that the chances of getting her in is very, very slim.
Have you been told how many people are ahead of her on the waiting list?
Yes. Yeah, you can call. I mean, the secretaries and the admin are so helpful, and they're so understanding of the situation, so they don't mind how many times you call. Every time you call, she might move down maybe one or two places, but that realistically it is still beyond her reach. She's at number, I think, 50 or something now. Mm-hmm. So it's tough.
So you're fairly sure now that she won't get into the school where you both would like her to go in September?
I can't say whether this is the uncertainty. This is the limbo that we're in. We don't know is the honest answer, Claire. Mm-hmm. The situation is, unless other people who've already secured places remove their names from the waiting list and Department of Education, obviously, come up with a plan, which I am led to believe that they are doing. But for now, no, it's not certain she will get a place.
So what impact is this having on Lucy? Obviously, you're very worried about it. Of course you are. But on her, how is she feeling about it all?
She obviously is causing her a lot of, emotional distress. I think, I'm not that naive that there are girls and children all over the world with bigger issues. But this is very relative to her when the excitement should be, bubbling right now in terms of all of her friends have places, the kids on her football team all have places. So there's all this talk, graduation is coming up now. They're talking about the yearbook and you're supposed to put down where you're going to secondary school. We can't even put that down for her. In school they're doing, prep talk about different languages they're going to be learning, lockers, all this kind of thing. And she's coming home saying, mummy, I'm left out. I can't talk about these things because I can't picture where I'm going to school. And mm-hmm. she's been, a little bit withdrawn, I guess, every time we say to her, look, the department are announcing something and, it's this date. She comes running home from school in through the door. Is there any news? And I have to say, no, I don't have any news. We have to wait for the next update. So you feel very, very helpless for her. This should be just a natural progression, Claire. They go to secondary, they go to junior, then they go to secondary. We shouldn't have to be going through this for her. It should just be a given.
Yeah, and have you been on to the other two schools at this stage to find out if she can get in there?
Yes, we have. So unfortunately, we had missed the cutoff date for application. So we would be going in as a late application. So you're way, way down the bottom of the list, Claire. So at that point, you kind of say, look, there is no point. When we called one of the schools and said, look, you would be about 225 on the list.
Mm. We got on to the Department of Education about this, and they sent us a statement. I'm just going to give you the key points in it. They say there's a small number of applicants who may not yet have received an offer of a school place for 24-25 in your area. Families can be assured that all children who require a school place will be provided with one. And they say that Greystones is one of a small number of areas where there are still some students waiting to be offered a place. They go on to point out that since 2020, they've invested 113 million euro in school infrastructure in Wicklow. The recently delivered projects include a significant expansion of St David's Secondary School in Greystones. There's a tender phase now underway. It's approaching completion for a 1,000 pupil post-primary school building for Greystones Community College. And they talk about other projects as well in the pipeline. Mm-hmm. And a big extension for Temple Carrick and a large extension for Coláiste Craobhowan in Kilcool. But I suppose that still leaves you waiting for an answer for September.
Yeah, so the numbers, I mean, I'm constantly, you know, very, very close to the numbers in terms of how many places are needed in the town. And it's the Department of Education have said it's 22. But that seems a little bit unrealistic when Temple Carrick say, or one of the secondary school that we apply to is saying to us, she's still very high on that list. So,
but then, as you say, you may have people on there who mightn't accept the place that they've been offered. Like, all of that has to play out yet, doesn't it? So she might be further up the list than she is today.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, Emma, thank you very much for telling us your story. And I'm sure there are people around the country who are very familiar with that story. Kevin Shortall, as I say, is with us as well, principal of St Aidan's Community School in Brookfield in Tallaght. Good morning, Kevin.
Morning, Claire. How are you?
So I'm good. Now, I know that you understand that there are schools under a lot of pressure, but do you say too that there are many who can and should be able to accommodate students?
Yes, well, I suppose, like, I don't want to comment on individual schools, and I'm kind of speaking in my own capacity, and actually listen to Emma there as a parent as well. My daughter is going to secondary school in September, and we were worried before Christmas as well that she'd get into the school that her friends were going to. So at this time in a young person's life, I think it's really important that they have that certainty. And I can only really empathise with Emma there. The child and the family need that certainty right now. And the fact that they don't have it, there's really something wrong. Mm-hmm. But what I was saying to your researchers yesterday was, if we place the blame squarely at the department, we're missing the point. The department, I do know from experience, will do everything they can to help a school expand, to increase its capacity, if it's to do with a child with additional needs. I know the NCSE will work with a school to do everything they can to expand as well. So, there are individual schools that have no more capacity. That's for sure. They're on a postage stamp site. They're in temporary accommodation. There's nothing more they can do. But there are other schools that it's simply to do with their admissions policies. So for example, they might say, we only take 100, we only take 120. I was chair of a board of management in a primary school that only used to take one class every year. And we sat down and said, look, the applications that we are getting every year are in excess of the numbers that we are catering for. We must expand. And the minute we did, the department stepped in and we had everything we needed. Mm-hmm. It's the same with our own school here. Last year, we had a huge influx of, and it was very uncertain times, a huge influx of Ukrainian students and additional people from the community. And the department were on the phone all the time, right? So we were able to build in additional capacity straight away. Even notional additional capacity. So there are things that schools can do. And again, I know there are lots of schools that can do no more, but there are a lot of things that schools can do.
I mean, let's look at some of the rules around admission now. So you could be living right beside a school, but because your parent or grandparent didn't go to that school, you've got no direct route in, or you're down on the waiting list, you know, as Emma's child is. Do you think that should change?
Yes, at a time of crisis. You know, if you look at health or housing or whatever, we changed the rules at a time of crisis. We're at a particular bubble now in our demographics. And I think it's the right of a child to go to the school that's closest to them with their friends. And that trumps any right for a grandparent that went to the school and the child moving from outside the district to come to that school. I think there are three very important admission rules that every school should go by. We're a community school and we go by those. Number one, living in the locality, not in order necessarily. Number two, from the feeder schools, and three, that your siblings are in the school. Because I think you should be able to go to a school that your brother or sister is in, and that the parents only have to do one school drop, mm-hmm. or maybe one to the primary, one to the secondary. But in a situation where you know, as a principal, there are 120 students coming from the three or four feeder schools, and you have time to prepare for that, you really should be getting, the board of management of the school should be getting their act together to make sure that that capacity is there.
Yeah.
And certainly having a rule where you know, you reserve 25% of your places for a child of a parent or a grandparent at a time when there's somebody next door whose friends are coming to the school, I think that's morally questionable.
Well,
even though it's in the legislation.
Kevin, it's very hard for the children of those parents who say went to a certain school, because they will be relying on that place too. Like they're coming up through the system, fourth class, fifth class. Well, at least we know you'll be grand, Johnny, because daddy went to that school and you'll be fine, you'll get a place. Very difficult to change that rule for them.
But if they're in the locality, then the locality becomes an issue. But if you're driving to a school, mm-hmm. you know, I think that in all across Europe, people go to the school that's closest to them.
And that's the fairest way.
Model, and it is the fairest way. I agree, you know, you can have an affinity to a school. You want your child to go to that school. But if you going to that school means that somebody who lives beside the school, whose friends go to that school, can't go there, we kind of have to look at that. But listen, if it's a 25% capacity issue and it means you have to add an additional 22 or 25 places to the school, we can do both. The problem is that if there's a board of management saying we only ever take the number and we're never going to take any more, at a time of crisis, should look at that.
Okay, but surely the department should be saying to that school, you have capacity here, you can expand, rather than waiting for the board of management to go to the department and saying we can take 25% extra pupils here.
Well, maybe the department should be more forthright in that regard. You see, schools have a degree of autonomy because, again, it's a historical thing, but the department can only say so much. There's an Admissions Act which gives the schools the right to determine their admissions policy. Now, maybe you would look at some kind of an emergency situation where for the next number of years we should change those rules. Again, we're now in March. We're now at the end of March. I'm actually looking at my incoming students in next September, and I've a couple of capacity issues to deal with, and we're doing that because as a school principal and as a person who works in this community, I'm not going to turn around to anybody who lives here and say, sorry, you've got to go somewhere else. Now, I'm lucky I have that space, and there are schools that don't. Mm-hmm. So I'm not speaking for every school here. There are schools that whose hands are tied.
Yeah, but if you can do it, you're saying you should do it.
If you can do it, you must. Not that you should, you must do it. Mm-hmm. You must do it for the local community and for the families that are there.
All right, Kevin, we're going to leave that there, but I'm sure we'll talk again. Good to speak to you. Kevin Shortall, who's principal of St. Aidan's Community School in Tallaght, and dietitian Louise Reynolds will be with us after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.